Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, March 11th, 2019. Have you recovered from that hour loss of time the other day?
Yeah.
Did you get to church on time? Hopefully everything is going well. We have a lot to recap from this weekend. The Home and Garden Expo took place. The Singing Men and the Great News Radio Children's Choir handing out 100 roses. All these fun festivities.
Beautiful.
A lot to catch up. But because we have a special guest in the studio and it's Memorization Monday, we're going to talk all about it tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But
sounds good.
We have a very special guest, and this person came to mind because today's memory verse is John 3:16. So let's begin our morning with saying that together.
Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Ooh, John 3:16. That's a great verse. Oh, gosh, it's one of the best verses and certainly one of the most known verses in all of Scripture. In fact, a few weeks ago when we had our English conversation class, and it was Valentine's Day, I shared this with the students, and they were all captivated.
Nice.
Or, that's interesting. And I think we talked about it where people at ball games sometimes hold up John 3:16, and a few had said, I've seen that. What does that mean? And we talked about God's love, and they were like mystified, or that's unusual. I've never heard about God's love.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's going to be a great verse to talk about and share. And so as I was thinking and praying up, who would be a good one to share? I remembered it was about 25, 30 years ago. Many years ago, there was a Gus Macker tournament going on in Champaign, in downtown Champaign, and it's a very informal, kind of a fun tournament, 3-on-3 basketball and all these festivities, and a lot of people turn out to it. But they said that they would allow there to be some kind of Sunday service, if you will.
Really?
Or a time for a devotional thought on Sunday, because the kids typically play all day Saturday, and then there's finals and such on Sunday. And so I thought, as I was helping to organize things, I said, who would be good to give, like, maybe a devotional thought? And I think it was you, Buddy Davis, these many, many years ago. And I said, hey, could you do maybe a devotional thought? And you said, hey, maybe I'll share on John 3:16. And as I remember, I don't know if you remember this, because it might have been almost 30 years ago, many years ago.
It's been a minute.
A minute for God. But I thought I remember you going through, and you just did a word at a time. For. Hey, does everyone know what for was? He kept it very basic. Mm. For God. What do you think of when you think of God? Who is God? What is the God in your life? And so loved. What kind of love? And you took everyone through that, as I remember. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, that was just wonderful, because most of those children probably don't attend church, or at least weren't attending church that day. They were playing basketball. But you had a way about you. And I've known you these 20, 30 plus years, our friendship, for many, many years, but it's stressed a little right now. I'll be honest. I didn't know you had a stroke about 2 years ago, and I don't know if Dr. Ollie Watts Davis doesn't have me in your call list or whatever, but we got to fix that, because I didn't know nearly 2 years ago, while you were at a Moody's Pastors Week, Pastors Conference, that you were getting up and things were like blurring or dizzy and your legs weren't holding you up, and you called your wife. And maybe before we get into this verse, just quickly give us a little update. So you've had a stroke. What happened? You're at Moody Conference.
I'm at
27 years you've been going to that. You love it. You know a lot of people. You get blessed by it.
God has a sense of humor.
Yes.
Okay. I'm in the class, and we're trying to figure out how to keep millennials in the church.
Yeah. Okay, keeping millennials in the church.
All right, I go from that class to the main assembly, where Erwin Lutzer is doing his imitation of Billy Graham.
Which is great.
I've heard it before. And I went to stand up, and I noticed that something was wrong. Make a long story short, I made it out to the lobby. I made it to the steps on the cell. And I called my wife, and she heard my voice. She knew something was up.
Because you're not a drinking man.
I'm not a drinking man.
Slurred your speech.
Right. So she recognized it.
Good
she
for
told
her.
Me, stay where I was, and Roy Patterson from Moody, I know him personally, He came and got me to Northwestern, which is two blocks from Moody.
It's a good hospital.
And you were saying not only a good hospital, one of the top neurological or something that you were saying, one of the top in the country, if not the world.
Yes.
And you're a few blocks away, and they treated you immediately.
And,
wow.
And the doctor was a millennial, and all the nurses were millennials.
Oh, I love it. That's the humor.
That's the humor.
Well, it's amazing. You have just recovered very well.
Yes,
for
a period of time, you didn't have use of your lower body.
Right. I've learned that a stroke moves. Yeah. The effects of a stroke moves. Originally, it was my legs, and now I talk like a drunk.
No, you don't.
Well, thank you. My congregation doesn't think so either.
Good thing.
I walk and talk like I'm impaired. But as soon as that's gone, I'll be back to normal.
Yeah, well, you're doing great. And,
yeah, you are.
You know, I know there's been a period of almost 2 years of some rehab and, you know, working with you. And you know,
a good wife. A good wife.
Yeah, good wife. And
praise God.
Give us a little update on Dr. Ollie Watts.
She's doing good. Doing good. Still up in the kids at university.
Right.
This weekend is the symposium that she has. So she's busy.
Yeah, yeah. Always busy ministering for the Lord.
But, you know, we're a team. I tell people, if you want to have a good marriage, tell God up front that your spouse and you are going to serve each other and serve him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how you have a good marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I serve her as she serves kids in college. She serves me as I serve the little ones.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And you're currently the pastor at Grace Fellowship Church, Champaign.
Yes, yes.
That's right off of the interstate. What's that?
Number one Henson Place.
Number one Henson Place. You've served there. I think your five-year anniversary is coming up or just celebrated?
We just celebrated 5 years.
Five years of serving as the senior pastor there.
Continuous. Christianity is about continuing.
Oh, that's a good phrase.
You were talking about, we've known each other for almost 30 years.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here looking at you. Your hair is white. Mark, your hair is pretty much white.
Yep. And there's nice starting out as blonde because it kind of looked pretty much the same.
Kind of flows together.
Yeah, flows together.
Yep.
But Christianity is about continuing, you know, holding on. Old folks say, rising and falling, but I'm still here.
Running the race.
Running the race. All kind of phrases have been developed over the years.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have worked together on so many different projects, the community-wide prayer gatherings for many years and the Promise Keeper gatherings and a host of other things, interracial to the Talks Mentoring Program that you started and have nurtured along for many years to being interviewed on Focus on the Family, Family Life Today.
Wow.
In fact, one time I was driving along and I heard him. I'm like, what's Harold Davis doing on the station? I'm not interviewing him. That it was Dennis Rainey or Jim Dobson or something. Yeah. And you've written a number of books. Well, let's get into our verse, and then we want to talk more because I want to talk about Jeep. Because I do drive a Jeep, but Pastor Harold Davis has something on his mind about Jeep that I think is real encouraging. So we'll read our story from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And we'll read his couple pages on John 3:16, and then we'll spend some time talking about this great verse that everyone should know.
Some more time. I've already been blessed just listening to you, buddy, before the show. Okay.
Praise.
Number four, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Henry Morehouse, 16, was a gambler, gang leader, and thief. But during the revival of 1859, he gave his life to Jesus and was soon preaching the gospel with all his heart. His favorite text was John 3:16. One day, in 1867 in Ireland, he met the world evangelist D.L. Moody, and Henry had the nerve to invite himself to preach in Moody's church in Chicago.
Have you ever done that, Pastor?
No, I've never done that. I've never done that.
He's never even asked to come and be on a broadcast or anything either.
Sometime later, Moody returned home from a trip and learned that Morehouse had shown up, started preaching, and was drawing great crowds. He has preached two sermons from John 3:16, Moody's wife told him, and I think you'll like him. Although he preached a little different from what you do. How's that? Well, he tells sinners God loves them.
Hmm.
Moody wasn't so sure about that, but that evening he went to hear Morehouse preach. The young man stood up in the pulpit and said, quote, "If you'll turn to the third chapter of John and the 16th verse," said the young man, "you'll find my text." Mm-hmm. Moody later recalled, "He preached a most extraordinary sermon from that verse. I never knew, up to that time, that God loved us so much. This heart of mine began to thaw out, and I could not keep back the tears. It was like news from a far country. I just drank it in." Night after night, Morehouse preached from John 3:16, and it had a life-changing effect on D.L. Moody. "I've never forgotten those nights," Moody said later. "I've preached a different gospel since, and I've had more power with God and man since then." Later, when Morehouse fell ill and was on his deathbed, he looked up and told his friends, "If it were the Lord's will to raise me again, I should like to preach from the text, God so loved the world."
Isn't that classic?
That's good.
Okay, here's a little note from Robert Morgan. Notice that the word gospel is literally spelled out in this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So the way it spells gospel is the bold letters, like the G in God, the O in only, the S in Son, the P in perish, the E in eternal, and the L in life.
Hmm. Gospel.
Memory tip. When you've memorized Genesis 1:1, John 1:1, 1:14, and 3:16, you have the entire Bible in the palm of your hand. These verses are the four corners of God's Word. And here's a quote from Henry Morehouse himself. "My friends, for a whole week, I've been trying to tell you how much God loves you, but I cannot do it with this poor stammering tongue. If I could borrow Jacob's ladder and climb up into heaven and ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Almighty, to tell me how much love the Father has for the world, all he could say would be, 'God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.'" Henry Morehouse.
Mm. Well, Buddy Davis, Pastor Harold Davis, you know about God's love, and maybe transition into time of your own little testimony of receiving his love and why this is an important verse for all of us.
First of all, I'd like to say that I have a passion for those that are outside of the church. I'm sitting here looking at you and Mary Ann. We have served the Lord, know who he is, for years.
Mm-hmm.
But those who don't know the Lord, they need to hear John 3:16.
Yeah.
They need to find out about God's love. It's going to take me, I know that on my deathbed, I'll be trying to figure out God's love. It doesn't make any sense.
And it's so expansive, too.
It's so expansive that God loved some kid over in South America in a tribe as much as he loves me or you or anybody else. God loves the world.
Yeah.
He loves the world of people. He loves them. And I've been reading in my devotional time Leviticus.
Hmm.
And what they had to do was crazy. You know, take a goat, take a lamb to the priest and sacrifice it for your sins. I don't understand that. I'm glad that we don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ loved us. He died for us. And because of his death, God is satisfied. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
God is satisfied. So with God's satisfaction comes the reason I give my life to him. I give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to serve him for the rest of my life, for the rest of my years.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
It's not glamorous. My prior life was as an entertainer. I played the guitar. I still could play the guitar. And I used to play for the applause of men.
Like in clubs and
bars? Yes. And I found out that God was real. Man, what am I fooling around here? Why do you want to fool around with anything else and God is real? You know, it's nothing else in the world worth having other than a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you study the love of God and you find out that it has no bottom. It has no top. It has no size. The love of God is so infinite. It's so infinite. That's why I love everybody. I love everybody. I don't look at the outside of a person. God doesn't look at. God is not into the outside of a person. He's into the inside of a person. I want people to know Jesus Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
we're going to have a better world when people are changed from the inside out.
Right.
anyway, as you have done, as I have done for the past, since we know each other, whole lot of years, we have tried to impact people by giving them what's going to change them from the inside. And understanding God's love as much as humanly possible is a good start.
Okay, so that person's driving to work, tuned into our station, they're like, God's love, I don't even believe that there's a God. Or what do you mean love? Isn't love conditional? What do you mean there's this God that loves me? Like, I can't even fathom
that. God has a way. He has a way of stepping up next to you and getting in your life. Nobody knows me this well. You know what I mean? I remember when God, he put to rest all doubts that I had. My friends then thought I had either lost my mind or I had gotten God for real. They knew it's one of the two.
One or the other.
When I met God, he put to rest all doubts, and he did it privately. He did it quietly. He didn't do it like I would have done it. You know, I would have put me on blast, but he didn't put me on blast. He was very quietly. One testimony I will share is that we were playing for a cotillion and with very powerful musical instruments playing very loudly. And God spoke to me that only I heard him. I looked around. Nobody else was engaged in the conversation but me. And God, he asked me a simple question. He says, am I getting any glory from this? And I said to myself, and I said to God, I don't see where you're getting any glory from this. And the way he did it, It was real. It was real.
God was asking you, is he God, sovereign God, getting the glory through what you're doing, how you're presenting? Not whether you're getting glorified, because you were getting some manly applause or glory or, you know, whether it was drugs or money or, you know, relationships or stuff. But he was kind of speaking to you saying, Harold, my son, my child, are you glorifying me? Am I getting glory here?
And he wasn't getting any glory from it. It's amazing that he didn't push the point, so to speak. He just left it at that, left it up to me.
And did you grow up in a church environment? So did you have an awareness that there's probably some sovereignty or some God behind the universe?
I had an awareness.
Okay.
I had a grandmother that would go to church and shout. And she would go to church. We'd sit in the back growing, and we'd laugh at them, at the old people in front. You know, that was our entertainment back then. We'd go to church and laugh at the old people. And now I've fooled around and I've become the old people.
Now we are those old people.
God bless you, Grandma.
And when I found out that she wasn't crazy, there was something to this, I said, why am I fooling around? Why fool around with anything else? Unfathomable love. I like to say that to the listening audience that you'll spend the rest of your life trying to understand God's love.
Oh, that's a true statement.
And you won't understand it. You won't understand it. But it sure is fun trying to figure it out.
And so you came to that realization that he was a loving, caring, personal God that revealed himself through his word, through his nature, through other people. And you started kind of growing that relationship. In a minute or two, fast forward, when did you feel a unique calling to bring love to other people or to preach
or
to teach?
Well, I tell you what happened to me. Was three ladies. I met one lady. She said, I met this man named Buddy Davis. He needs to be saved. And they started praying for me.
Some people are so straightforward.
Straightforward. And she started praying for me. Within a month, I'd done a 180. This thing called God is real. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to chase hard after God. Then I met Ollie. I asked her to be my friend. She didn't know it better. She said yes.
How many years now have you been married?
39. Coming up on 40. We're coming up on 40. She's been my friend. And
I love that.
Anyway, make a long story short, we got married, moved here. I knew I had to get married. I'll tell men all the time, get married and do what the woman says.
Oh, no, gosh. I'm not sure about that part. But
well, in our English conversation class recently, we were talking about when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah,
and we were talking that
too.
Through that, keep mother happy.
Yep. So anyway, I tell you, it's worked for me. It's worked for me. When I had my stroke, I remember being in the hospital, not knowing where I was, not knowing who I was. I looked up and saw that woman. I knew who she was.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, I knew who she was. And,
I love it that you asked her to be your friend.
Yeah, I asked her to be my friend.
That's the big thing, you know.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that in this verse, God is saying to us, I want to be your friend.
I want you to be
my friend. Like you said, to try to wrap our minds around God's love, which is infinite, which the sovereign, all-powerful, he could do anything he wants. He created the world, the universe. He, in his foreknowledge, I don't know, in his wisdom, he decided he wanted Buddy Davis. Mm-hmm. He wanted Marianne Simpkins. He wanted Mark Burns to spend eternity with him, and he thought us up.
Yeah.
I don't know. He allowed us to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to breathe, and then the fact that we get to know him. And for that listener that's maybe kind of struggling or wrestling or maybe confused over life or purpose and meaning of life, there is a loving God, a sovereign God who takes an interest in you. And I would pray you would find a Christian, you would go to a Bible-believing church this Sunday. You would just ask somebody, could somebody direct me towards God? And our advice would be, seek him out yourself. There's that passage in James, I think, come near to God and he'll come near to you. God promises that as you entertain the idea maybe he exists, he will reveal himself in some unique and special ways. And as it says in John 3:16, our verse for the week, for God so loved the world, that's you, it's just not this planet, he loves you as an individual, that he gave his one and only son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ for you so that those who believe in him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not perish but have everlasting life. And so what a great verse for us all. Buddy Davis, I knew you were the right one. And it's interesting, the story about John 3:16, you know, about this individual loving to just talk about John 3:16 and the impact it had on Moody and your affiliation with the Moody Church and all those different times you've attended there, your heart for people that don't know the Lord, to have God's love revealed to them is, I think you're just the perfect messenger for this verse. So thanks for being available.
Glad to be here.
We'll talk some more. I know we wanted to talk about the Jeep concept. We'll have to have you back another time. I know you're working on books and other things, so we'll have you back. But John 3:16, a great verse for all of us to be aware of, that God, the sovereign God, loves us. He loves you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Harold Davis, Buddy Davis, with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Think about the stars.